Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, our gospel reading for this morning might sound a bit strange to our 21st century ears. I mean, after all, it's talking about brothers marrying each other's wives. That would raise anybody's eyebrow. This is how it goes. The Sadducees asked Jesus a question. They said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. And you can probably see where that's going to go. That's seven brothers, seven marriages, one lady. That's a weird family reunion. But the Sadducees, they were right. I mean, it's in the Bible. Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 10. If a guy dies and doesn't have any kids, then his brother has to marry his wife, or else she gets to spit in his face and take one of his sandals. That's what it says. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to us all the way here in the 21st century, but it made a lot of sense in ancient Israel, because back then you could see what this rule was all about. You see, when death comes in and breaks a family apart, this rule about a brother marrying the widow is about healing. I mean, no one makes it in life alone. It's not even today. But back then, there's no social security. There's no safety net. Families have to take care of each other. So for a woman with no kids and no husband, well, she's out of luck. And that's what this rule is about. It's God's way of providing for those who are most vulnerable. It's a way to make sure that no one is left high and dry in ancient Israel. It's about bringing some good out of a really terrible situation. Because that's how God operates. And it does. It sounds weird to us. Brothers marry each other's wives, but that's why that rule is there. To bring some good out of something bad. Now, what the rule is not there for is to try to trick Jesus into saying something stupid. And that's exactly what the Sadducees were trying to do. They were taking this weird rule, but good rule, about providing for a widow, and they're trying to use it as a gotcha. They're trying to challenge Jesus with this. They're trying to do literally the exact opposite of what God does. They're trying to take something that's designed for the good, and they're trying to get something bad out of it. And if you don't remember who the Sadducees are, that's okay. They don't show up a lot in the Bible. Though a few years ago, someone told me this cute little rhyme to keep them straight. And it goes like this. The Sadducees are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. I know that's kind of silly, but it helps me keep things straight. And it's true. Because if you were to go back in time and ask a Sadducee, what happens when you die? They'd laugh at you. They'd say, nothing. Game over. You're dead. Nothing happens when you die. And they're not saying that death is a good thing. I mean, after all, the Sadducees die just like everyone else. But what they're saying is that death is the last thing. There's nothing good or bad coming afterwards. So this, right now, this is all you got. Life ends on a down note, so you might as well enjoy it. And the Sadducees, they did pretty well for themselves. They weren't kings or queens by any stretch of the imagination, but they were comfortable. They were respected. They were educated. They were upper middle class. And so they hear about this poor preacher from Galilee called Jesus, and he's getting pretty popular. But he's talking about eternal life. And so they roll their eyes and they get up and they stretch and they're going to go find this Jesus guy and set him straight. Because this whole resurrection business, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not reasonable. I mean, why would God give a rule about a brother marrying each other's wives if he's just going to bring everyone back from the dead at the end? I mean, what are they going to do? Share a wife? No. It doesn't make any sense. Or at least that's what the Sadducees would say. And you kind of want to call him a cynic, right? But it sort of sounds like they have a point. I mean, after all, whose wife would she be? Maybe they're just being realists here. I mean, just look around yourself. It can seem like there's a whole lot more bad coming out of good things than there are good things coming out of bad things. I mean, think about it in your own life. What's the first thing you think of when you hear that somebody's won the lottery? I bet it's not, wow, I wonder what kind of charities they're going to start with all that money. No, I would imagine it's probably something more along the lines of, wow, I wonder how long it's going to take for them to flush all that down the toilet. And hopefully that's not the first thing that comes to your mind, but if it is, you can be forgiven, because that's a story we hear over and over and over again. Someone gets a lucky break and then throws it all away. Bad coming out of the good. Winning $100 million is a good thing. Wasting $100 million on drugs and crazy living is a bad thing. You know. Or think about it in your own home. Having a friend is a good thing. Someone to talk to, someone to have fun with, someone just to share life with. Having a friend is a good thing. Having a friend who lies and steals from you and stabs you in the back is a bad thing. Because that's how this stuff works. The better that something is, the more good there is in something, the worse the bad that comes out of it is. You have marriage. You found someone to love and to hold until death do you part. Richer or poorer, it doesn't matter as long as I'm with you. But it doesn't always work out that way, does it? People betray, people lie, people cheat. And out of that thing that was once so very good comes something terrible. You have children who are abused and used by the people who are supposed to love and nurture them. You have grandparents and grandparents who are there, who are stolen from and lied to by their children. I mean, all these things, these good things, these relationships that are supposed to be so good often become the source of the very worst things in life. But maybe you've dodged all the bullets that life has shot at you. Maybe you've made it through. You've got good kids, good parents, good spouse, good friends, the whole shebang. You're set. What do you do when death creeps in? And now all those good relationships with all those good people are ended. And now the closer you were to the people that you loved, the more painful it is now that they're gone. And out of those good things come the very worst things. There's no debating that. That's life. That's not being cynical. That's just saying what it is. Bad. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, whether you're a Pharisee or a Sadducee. It's the same thing. It's bad coming out of the good. And that fact confronts us all at one time or another. And it's that fact that the Sadducees are using to confront Jesus. Whose wife would she be? If there really is a resurrection from the dead, then all you're doing is replacing the pain of a widow with conflict between brothers. I mean, it's all in all better that they're dead so something worse doesn't happen to them. And Jesus hears this challenge of the Sadducees. And it sounds like they have a point. Just look at life. Jesus hears this challenge of the Sadducees, and he does what he always does. He brings good out of the bad. Remember, this rule was originally there to take care of widows, a good thing. But these Sadducees are using it to try to trick Jesus into saying something dumb, a bad thing. And Jesus takes this bad thing, this challenge of the Sadducees, and he uses it to point to one of the greatest things that God has ever promised to do, the resurrection. Whose wife will she be, you ask? Let me tell you something. There is coming a time when no one will promise to someone else, "Till death do us part." Because there will be no more death. They will be equal to the angels, sons of God. And God is not going to let anything happen to his children. You see, the Sadducees take this good commandment of God and twist it into some artificial, impossible challenge designed to give them the answer they had already decided on. There is nothing good for those who are dead. And Jesus reverses that. He untangles it from all the stuff the Sadducees had placed on it. And he uses it to point to something completely unbroken by death. There is a resurrection. There is a time coming when all the pain and confusion and misunderstandings of life will come to an end. That's the stuff that's going to die, not God's children. That's the good God has planned. And you see, these Sadducees, they couldn't comprehend the good that God is going to bring out. I mean, they couldn't see it. They were up to their eyeballs in the messiness and pain of life. Just like we all are at one point or another, when we can't see anything else except the bad that's staring right at us. But Jesus speaks into that situation. He speaks into that bad, into the pain and the confusion and the death. He speaks a resurrection, that he's going to bring good out of the bad. Jesus speaks life. And now I'm the first to say, talk is cheap. But when the one who speaks these words of life is the same one who created the entire universe out of speaking, who said, "Let there be light," and there was light? When the one who speaks these words is the one who said, "Let my people go," and then rescues an entire nation of slaves? When the one who speaks these words of life, who says there is a resurrection, and then marches off to die and is crucified and buried and then is resurrected? I'll listen to that guy. And these words of life, Jesus speaks to you. And all the tragedy and all the pain, Jesus speaks this resurrection. And this isn't a plan of silver linings. This isn't a plan of looking on the bright side. I mean, death is death. Abuse is abuse. Divorce is divorce. It's all bad. But with these words, Jesus speaks of something separate. Something the bad can't even reach, for they will be sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. They can't die anymore. They're equal to the angels. God brings good out of the bad. He always has and he always will. And that can be a bit of a challenge to those of us who are comfortable, to those who aren't faced with the bad things of life all the time. Because then we run the risk of not being able to see the good that God is bringing out of it. And I'm not saying you have to leave church this morning and feel bad. And I'm not saying that if you're in one of those bad situations, you're actually really lucky and you should just be happy about it. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that the God who loves you, who died for you, and who saves you, is active and moving even in the worst situations. And so, whether you're facing the worst that life can throw at you, or whether you feel like you're in a pretty okay place, know this: God has something better planned. And it's that this resurrection that we are looking forward to. Thanks be to God.